deeper intimacy, communication, love, then I see couples start to get excited about, okay, well, nobody has ever told us we should be building something, so how do we start?
Hear more from Dr. Julie Slattery at familyminute.org.
Good morning and welcome to One-on-One with the Pros. And Kurt Mead is with us today, as he is on some Mondays here. And good morning. Long time no see. About a couple hours ago.
That's right, Colin. How you doing?
Doing super, super. What are we going to? We're going on boundaries again today.
Well, we're going on boundaries. And if you've never listened to any other program before, mm-hmm. you need to listen to this one.
Yes, you do. Because we're going to understand some of these models that we've been bringing about.
That's right. And what we have, Tom, out there in the real world, we have different models. We have three different models, and I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yes, we did. But you know what? People forget.
I know.
And they need reminding.
Repetition. Repetition is what it's all about.
Yeah.
And really, Tom, we live in a world of perfect and ideal boundaries. I mean, we're born, and we just assume that things are going to be like our surroundings all of our life. It's mm-hmm. ideal. It's perfect.
Until reality sets in.
And you know we at birth and then through the toddler mm-hmm. years and whatever, we can get our way by crying, by doing this and that, throwing a temper tantrum until we get the little spat on the diaper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the old attitude adjustment there.
That's the attitude adjustment. And really, the ideal formula for the perfect model is it's quick.
Yeah.
It's convenient.
Oh, yeah.
It's tasty. It's the American society. Oh, did I say that?
Oh, yeah. It's a microwave minute. Everything
microwave,
is,
yep.
Everything just so, yep.
And it all began with one simple act of disobedience.
Apples.
Apples. Yep, that taste of that fruit, it was convenient. But, you know, we've all been there. We've all done that many times. You know, we still do it. Mm-hmm. But what happens is we get burnt.
Oh, yeah.
We get embarrassed. The choices we make don't turn out quite as tasty and convenient and as quick as we thought it would. You know, I'll just hustle down to Tulsa and I'm going to speed a little bit, but I have an important date, an important meeting. Well, next thing we know,
boom.
Yep, pulled over.
Rollers.
So we all have our reasons for the uh-huh. perfect and the ideal model. But then, like you said, that's when reality kicks in. The realistic model, the model that says, hey, I have boundaries that's not governed by my own personal standards.
Mm-hmm.
There are other people I have to consider. There are moral standards. There are civil standards that I have to take in consideration. So there are lawful limitations to the perfect model. Mm-hmm. So the perfect model is surrounded by the realistic model. And what happens there, Tom, is in the realistic model, then things become based on performance, on duty. You know, you need to be here at a certain time every morning. I know I need to be here at a certain time every morning. And there's obligations we have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't follow those obligations, reality kicks in.
And sometimes reality can hurt.
And if we do keep those obligations, reality kicks in. We get our paycheck. We mm-hmm. we get rewarded. Different things take place. It gives us an incentive to press on.
There you go.
And what happens is, in this performance model, the realistic, the moral, the civil boundaries, Tom, it creates a dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
We think to ourselves, okay, how good is good enough?
Yeah, people always want a little bit more, don't they? A little extra.
A little extra, or we want to know the boundaries of reality. We want to kind of push the limits, and then we think, well, even in the church world, well, how many people do I need to see today?
Mm-hmm.
How many, what's the goal on attendance? I mean, we have these projected goals, but we have to think, well, how good is good enough? Okay, I built this building here, but, you know, maybe it's not good enough for my people. Maybe I need to accommodate a greater crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have this dilemma, and how good is good enough? And the sad thing about that, Tom, that creates frustration. It creates fatigue, and it eventually it can create burnout.
Oh, boy. I hate burnout.
Hate burnout. So we have a human difficulty there. So let's start out with, let's go back to the Good Samaritan.
Okay.
Okay. He's traveling down the road from Jerusalem, high elevated city, mm-hmm. to Jericho, the lowest elevated city, not elevated, but below sea level. Mm-hmm. And he starts out with the ideal model. He's going to take this trip. He's going to take this journey. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a nice journey. But then reality kicks in, and he realizes, hey, there might be thieves on this road.
There could be.
Could be. Could be hungry wolves.
Could be.
Could be. So he has to consider all these things, but he still decides to take the journey. He has the ideal model. He has the realistic model. But then he meets the thieves on the way.
Uh-oh.
And they beat the tar out of him. They leave him half dead. So then we have the third model, which I don't really see this model too much in America. He faces desperation. He's desperate. He's hungering and thirsting after someone to mend and make him whole. But if I never face that desperate model, if I'm still in the model of the civil, the emotional, the moral law, then I expect people to revolve around my model. And I find other people, other flocks that I can congregate to where I can be like them and they can be like me.
You've created your own little subset of a universe.
I sure have. So there's no, and I don't need desperation if I have money to bail myself out. Mm-hmm. If I have a nice house, I mean, I might say I'm religious, but if I have all these things going for me, why do I need a rescue? No, for me to be rescued, I have to want to be rescued. And so what happens? I face this dilemma, this human difficulty, and it lacks authority and it lacks power.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need to do is really understand the power and the authority of God. The desperation that takes place.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't be desperate if everything is going my way.
Uh-huh.
How can I be desperate?
There you go.
So what happens is, like you said, I develop a, what do you call it earlier, a sub-society?
Yeah, like a subset of the universe. You got your own little cluster of things going on right there. I mean, heck, man, you got your own big old neighborhood.
You got your own congregation, yeah. Or your own workforce. I mean, everything is just ideal.
Yeah, it's your own little world.
It's own little world. So what happens? I can appear godly, but the Bible says that I deny the power thereof, and there's a power that goes beyond the ideal. The power that goes beyond the realistic. But I have to understand, how do I get to that power? What do I need to do? And if I don't discover that power, I'm going to live a frustrating life. I'm going to be angry. You know, we've seen a lot of that recently.
Oh boy. Yeah.
And things will just eventually deteriorate around me. And then I'll say, well, I don't care. I'll die, and I'll be preached into heaven.
There are folks who believe that.
And the only problem with that, Tom, yeah. is heaven is a terrestrial place. Yeah. It's like the planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham said he was looking for a city. He wasn't mm-hmm. looking for a heaven. He was looking for a city.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people who's accepted into the city, but I have to realize, hey, I know it's not the ideal law that's going to get me there, what I want. I know it's not the realistic law, the law of morality, the law, the judicial system.
Mm-hmm.
That won't get me there. What do I have to do to be desperate? Do I have to go and walk the streets of North Tulsa and get beat up?
Ooh, I hope not. That's a painful way.
That'd be a painful way.
Yeah.
So I need to have that revelation, okay, how do I get reconciled to the difficulty I face? How do I get reconciled to the holiness of God? I don't hear too much about holiness anymore.
No, I don't either.
You know, is it the way I dress?
Well, it could be, but it's spelled differently.
I should dress moderately, but it is holiness in that? Mm-hmm. Is it in the good enough standard? I mean, I have a good church, I have a good neighborhood, I have all these good things, but then again, I can't get a grip on it. There's certain areas of my life I can't tame. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people have problems taming their tongue.
Yeah.
A lot of folks have a problem with taming their finances. Mm-hmm. It's out of control. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is maybe it revolves around performance. I get into the Martha mode, Tom. Mm-hmm. And just think, how clean did she have to make that house? Her and Mary, they opened their house to Jesus. Well, how clean does my house have to be to invite the Lord in?
It's got to be pure of spirit, that's for sure.
Well, but she's cleaning her physical house.
Yeah.
And so there Mary was, camping out at Jesus' feet, but Martha was busy doing what we do, tidying things up, appearing godly, doing mm-hmm. things that it's necessary. And Jesus said, that's not where it's at. It's not about showmanship, Martha. It's not about showmanship.
You don't go to heaven on style points.
You don't go to heaven. You don't go to that big city. Nope. So there's God's way. God's way, and I'll tell you what, Tom, the key here is God's going to have a holy nation. But I don't see much holiness out there. I didn't see much holiness in me until I got this little bit of a revelation. Mm-hmm. I thought, Lord, I read Exodus 28, I read Exodus 29, I read Exodus 30, and you put all this gold and silver and time and these priests to develop their holiness. So why is holiness so important to you, God? I mean, I can act holy. I can talk holy. I can look holy. But, Lord, I'm not really holy. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a city for holy people. And I tell you, where we make the mistake, Tom, is grace. We think, well, God has covered it, and I'm made holy by Him. So I have no accountability?
You have a higher accountability after
you,
that.
You hit a key. I have a higher accountability. Sure, He paid the price, and he tells me that I'm not allowed to boast. And we talked about this week before last. I'm poor in spirit. I have nothing to offer. So how am I going to be reconciled to God? I have nothing to offer God. Yet He wants me to be holy, and I read about these priests, these Levites in Exodus, and I thought, Lord, where is the missing link in our society, mm-hmm. in church? No, it's not in churchy people. Yep. Churchy people mm-hmm. tell you all day long where holiness is found, but they don't have it.
Nope.
The Pope doesn't have it. So what do I do? How do I get there? I'm poor in spirit. Well, I tell you what, Tom, it's an oxymoron. It's an oxymoron, and I'm going to hit you with this, and it doesn't really make sense until it sinks in. You know, right now we're getting ready to, the next few weeks, we're getting ready to head into football season.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have gone through football camp, football drills, all these things, and we have all kinds of camps, scout camps and church camps, but... What's the oxymoron? What type of camp do I need to be in? What it is, Tom? It is a labor camp. A labor camp? Have you ever been in a labor camp, Tom? China or anywhere?
I've seen them. Ooh, that's tough stuff.
It's tough stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's a labor camp of rest. What? A labor camp of rest?
Okay.
Now...
I haven't had to labor too much to rest, but maybe this is a different kind of rest.
No, but it's a different type of rest. You know, we're told in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, labor, cease from your own labor, and labor to enter into God's rest. What? Labor into God's rest? You've seen the movie Rocky.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say Rocky's just Mr. Rogers of the labor I'm talking about, a Sesame Street. I mean, we're really talking about if you haven't eaten in 2.5-3 days, would you be hungry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Well, if you haven't, maybe if you didn't drink anything for maybe same amount of time, would you be thirsty?
Bordering on death, yeah.
So God says, how desperate are you, Kurt? It says, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Well, you know, I go to church, I pay my tithes, I read my Bible. Oh, really? That's the labor camp I'm talking about? Well, I don't know. That's the most. Isn't that good enough?
Well, symbolically.
So what this camp is, Tom, it's a intentional, it's a careful, deliberate act of entering into God's rest. And we don't do that here in America. And if we did, we would have a different culture. But we've created an environment at Wellspring where we can have that labor camp of rest. People come in, they know. They know they're going to spend a certain amount of time with the Lord. They know they're going to do their journaling. But they know in the long run that God will give them that rest that he's talking about. It's not a physical rest. It's not a mental rest. It's that spiritual rest. And so if I decide if I'm going to get on board and do this, there's some effort involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't see any effort in the grace. Oh, I'm covered by God's grace. I'm covered by the blood. Oh, really? Let me hit you with another prospect here. The church says that, well, you know, that we're coming back at the end of the tribulation and blah, blah, blah. Well, the saints are, but the holy nation is not.
Mm.
God didn't send his holy people out to fight battles. God doesn't create holiness to be a warrior. The saints come back because there's going to be some retribution for things that took place during the tribulation period that they want some vengeance. But if I'm that holy person, if I'm part of that holy nation, and I'm out of here, I have no bones to pick with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to come back to a war-torn earth. But that's what we hear preached in the church.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming back. We're going to fight. Well, you come back. But I'm going to labor to be that holy person God has intended me to be. I can't do it on myself. I can't do it on my own. So what has happened, Tom? God has created that model over in Exodus 28, 29, and 30 to give me a picture of what holiness looks like. Well, God, I can't be that holy. No, you can't. Mary couldn't be that holy. How did Mary get that holy? Well, she camped out at your feet, Jesus. She camped out at my feet. I got on to Martha. She's all busy doing this religious stuff and getting things prepared for me. That's not where it's found. The thief on the cross that recognized me, he was in that labor camp. He had nowhere to go. He turned to me. The man on the road to Jericho on life support, he had nothing to offer me. I said, okay, Lord. So I have nothing. No, you have nothing to offer me except to enter this labor camp of rest. And if I get the revelation on that, then I'm going to take this thing to a higher plane. It's not about being good enough, giving enough alms and sacrifices. And this. It's not about that at all, Tom. And we get that confused because we're so stuck in a world system that we're rewarded by being on time, mm-hmm. putting in our hours, doing this, doing that. Well, God's not about that. So I have to think to myself, okay, if your ways are not my ways and my ways are not your ways, what is your way?
Mm-hmm.
And then he showed me it's about this rest. He said, be still. Be still and know that I'm God. Well, I'm too busy. Just be still. Well, no, I have an appointment. Be still. Well, wait upon the Lord. No, I don't think I have time. Okay. And I tell you what, Tom, it is a very, just by what I've seen at the clinic and just kind of looking out over the community, over the state, over the nation, over the world, that we're in a very messed up world. And we think it's all going to be fine, it's all going to work itself out, but according to the Bible, it's not. And we're told in the book of Revelation, those who are you might say it's a mass slaughter of saints, God tells them at that time, rest for a season. Just rest for a season. I thought to myself, Lord, there must be something about this rest, because if you tell those who've been slaughtered and they want vengeance now, and he says, rest until your brethren are slain, I thought, there must be something to this rest. Mm-hmm. And there is a key. There's a key. There's a revelation. And, Tom, there's only one way to enter that rest, and that's doing it the way Mary did. That's doing it the way we do it at the clinic, just to kneel down and rest in the Lord's presence and let him transform you. Let him transform me. I can't transform myself. I'll frustrate myself. You know, I'll tell myself, well, you know, I can be good today. Nope.
You can tell yourself all day long.
Tell yourself, try to convince yourself all day long. I mean, that's not where it's at. I believe we have a couple of commercials, or at least one, Kenny and Lawn Care.
Yeah, well, let's take care of that, and we'll be back to more business right here on K1.
A&M Small Engine Repair and Lawn Service Care can help you with all of your lawn care needs this year. They have a repair shop located at 605 North Osage Avenue in Dewey to work on your lawnmowers. They can also order parts for you if you want to work on it yourself, and offer free pickup and delivery service for Dewey and Bartlesville city limit customers. If you don't have the equipment or just don't have the time, their lawn mowing crew would love to help you take care of your lawn so that you can do other things with your extra time. For free quotes for lawn care services, call 918-534-8045 or text 918-766-1191 for more information or pickup. Find them on Facebook, K&M Small Engine Repair and Lawn Service.
And we're back to one-on-one. Kurt Mead, of course, is our guest host here today. Kurt?
And we do have Aaron's Performance. He's been a sponsor with us for about, well, ever since the beginning. And if someone would like to, and Aaron told me last week, he said, I've had several people come to the shop, and they said that they heard about me on your program, and I really appreciate that. So if you do go see Aaron and you've heard about him through us, just kind of drop a line, let him know that you've heard it through the one-on-one. But if you'd like to contact Aaron, he can be reached at 918-440-9754. That's 440-9754. He's on the Dewey Bartlesville line. And just cross some AFS glass. So he'd be glad to look at your car or truck and see what I could do to get it going.
Very good. Good person to know. You got to have your car guy.
Yeah, that's right. So, Tom, what we're looking at here is is we have people who come to the clinic, and we have breakdowns of the rest, but we also have prophetic breakdowns. You know, I talked to a gentleman yesterday, and he said, you know, he said, the way you hook it all up, he said, you know, most places don't. I said, well, there's a rhyme and a reason why we go through what we go through in this time. I said, right now, you know, as I see it, as the Bible projects it, I said, we're going through the beginning of sorrows. I said, it's not the tribulation period. You're going to know when the tribulation period gets here. And how long is the tribulation period, Tom?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
7 years.
7 years.
7 years. So that's going to be a time of you might say, time of hell on earth. It's going to be a very, like we've titled it, the tribulation period. And I said, you know, I have a book. It was copywritten in 1944. And this man did everything in his power to tell a reader why Israel wasn't going to become a nation in 1944. Well, guess what happened in 1948?
Well, they became a nation.
They became a nation. And Harry Truman signed it into the decree in one day. Well, I think it's Isaiah talks about becoming a nation in one day. How many nations do you know of becomes a nation in one day?
I can't think of too many that day. No.
How many nations have been exiled for thousands of years and comes back to their homeland?
that doesn't happen every day.
That doesn't happen every day. So we're told in the Bible that's the key component to the rest of these things. I guess you might say it's a domino effect. When that first domino falls, we get the other dominoes, like men and women. They have it's like a spirit of aggression, a spirit of violence, because their love has waxed cold. We see that out there. We see turmoil in the environment. We have weird weather patterns. We see that out there. We see a global network of where, you know, you can transfer funds all over the world. And, you know, I'm not sure what program was on. It was on K1 the other day, one of the syndicate programs, but they were talking, and this was just, you know, like as normal. They said, well, it's either Switzerland or Sweden. They said, you don't have to worry about transactions like we do here in America, currency and all that stuff. They said they have like a, it's like a, about the size of a rice.
Oh, yeah, they're voluntary chipping, yeah. Just like you would do a pet.
Yeah, and they're using that for financial markets and this and that.
Identification, too.
Identification. So, you know, the technology is all there, Tom. And so we were told, I know we just have a couple minutes left, we're told in the Bible that there is going to be a nation that's worthy to escape, but that's going to be that holy nation, and I want to be that nation, Tom. I don't want to be part of this, what's getting ready to come upon the world, because it's not going to be a pretty sight.
No, from the sounds of things, it's going to be just awful.
And we got a program, a curriculum. I know what I've come up with. It's a curriculum that it really twists your thinking. Have you ever had your thinking twisted?
Yeah, it was called algebra, trigonometry.
Yeah. So we have a curriculum that's based on, it's not your normal thought process. It gets people thinking, like, you know, maybe this stuff is, there's some maybe there's some legitimacy to it. You know, I need maybe investigate some.
Very good. So twisted.
Twisted. You know, not your normal religious, what you'll hear in most religious circles, but things that really cause you to think. You know, the old Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of twists your thinking a little bit. Right.
So this is going to be a challenge to your senses, a challenge to your thought process.
Really. And
a
what
good
happened,
challenge.
A good challenge. And what happens, Tom, I've come up with a little bit of a, you might say it's a personality profile, and we say we're Christians, we say we're doing this and that, but I can give a person this small test. It's about two or three questions, and almost always the answers they give me are the idea of the perfect model. I think, so you're still living in this perfect model world, and you're saying that you want to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work that way. We have to recognize God has a process. God has a process to holiness. And if someone would like to reach me and talk to me a little bit more about that, they can reach me at 918-397-0284. That's 918-397-0284. We're at 132 Southeast Chalwell, 132 Southeast Chalwell. I'll be able to field any calls that come in to answer the questions, comments, whatever. And Tom, I know we have about a minute and a half left, mm-hmm. but the people that come to the clinic, I mean, we have all kinds. We have, you know, I've heard recently we may have a guy come in who, I think he's kind of confused on what gender he is. I said, well, bring him in. You know, let the Lord clean him up. I can't clean him up, but let the Lord clean him up.
Yeah, you know, you're looking for answers. We'll show you the pathway.
We'll show you the pathway. We'll put you in that position where let God do the work. Mm-hmm. Let God. Take care of the unholiness in you. I can't do it. I can only point you to the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so come by 132 Southeast Chalwell. We're just half a block south of RX Express. And I'll be there probably around 10:30, 11 o'clock, and be glad to visit with you and just welcome you in.
Kurt Mead, it's always a pleasure having you on board. Can't wait to have you back again. And thanks for talking to us about boundaries and the different models and everything. And once again, what's the phone number they can reach you if they're...
918-397-0284. 918-397-0284.
There you go. And thank you very much for being up with us on One-on-One with K-Wan.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with a Professional, a paid presentation at 1400 K-1.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the Hour. Real news, real.